and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020.
Bitcoin up a little bit from yesterday, up to 19,061, up 2%, and ETH is up about 1% as well, up to 594.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting and crypto invoicing. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, something that was all over the news today, it was Visa. Visa will facilitate USDC payments thanks to a new partnership with Circle.
Yeah, so Visa has a program that's it's called Fast Track, which is getting a bunch of cryptocurrency companies access, and other types of companies too, but access to issue cards, credit cards. Part of that was what Coinbase deal, when Coinbase was now able to issue a card, that was part of this. The Circle is now the other side of it. The way I can understand, the way I'm thinking about this is that they are essentially USDC-backed cards, so you can hold USDC and then the USDC-backed debit cards. So you can hold USDC, spend it as you would a debit card, and it will deduct USDC. It's unclear. There's a lot of open questions here, because they keep on talking about sending USDC and all. It's kind of like you don't need a debit card or a credit card. You don't need Visa to be involved in sending USDC. That's not a real thing. Like, you don't need it. We don't, like, everyone who's listening to this knows how to send USDC around. So I'm not really sure what they're going for here. I mean, obviously having it backed, having a debit card style is nice. You know, if you could pay your credit card bills with crypto, that could be kind of interesting. I think we're all waiting. You know, I'm waiting for the bank to open up. I'm waiting for Kraken to open their bank in Wyoming, where you can deposit USDC, you send USDC and immediately spend it off a debit card, or likewise, you can immediately take USD and click send. It will show up in your USDC wallet, you know, in your Ethereum wallet. And there's, you know, seamless integration between the exchanges and your local and your actual spendable cash reserves. That's what I'm really excited for. I think a lot of this stuff is super interesting. I don't think that this is whatever. I don't think that mass adoption of cryptocurrency has been waiting for Visa to have a debit card backed by USDC. Like, I think it's a step along the path, but that's absolutely not the major, you know, stumbling blocks to widespread adoption. So interesting, cool, lots of news being made. Visa's obviously put a lot of money into this because they're, I'm sure, scared, completely terrified of what's happening around this. And that's kind of how I read this, which is that this is not necessarily the most innovative thing ever. But if you're Visa and you're terrified about what's happening, this is one way to get your foot in the door.
Why would Visa be terrified?
Well, because if I can send from my phone, or I can use a QR code to transfer unlimited amounts of money around the world instantaneously, gosh, that sure sounds like their business model. So if, you know, as soon as you and you kind of get rid of the fraud piece of it, I mean, that's you no longer, you lose money when you have crypto. You have the chance you'll lose money if your keys are exploited. But you very rarely see fraud like cloning credit cards and things like that. And that's really where those 3% of the fees you're paying to Visa are going to. So if you remove all that fraud, you change the dynamic of payments, you let everyone do it peer to peer without a centralized company. Visa's scared.
Yeah. All right. Up next, a scary story. Solidity Labs, a DeFi auditor, received death threats over a $12 million rug pull after they disclosed vulnerabilities in the DeFi protocol Compounder in an audit.
This is the, we'll have to make some sort of reward for the year stories. Like, this is like the dumbest story of the year. Not because it's a dumb story, but because it's just, the whole thing is just so dumb. Solidity is one of the auditing companies out there doing audits of these smart contracts. They got hired by Compounder to do an audit of their smart contract. They identified a vulnerability, which was that you are able to basically go and change the master keys for the smart contract, bypassing the 24-hour or if there was a 24-hour period where people could object. So basically you could make an operation on the smart contract that after 24 hours would change the master key. If the community was paying attention, they could rally a vote together and vote to reject that change to the master key. And no one. And so obviously this was disclosed in the audit. It was well known. This is, in fact, very similar to an issue that Pickle had, which is not why Pickle got hacked. But Pickle, basically, when Pickle did get hacked, they used a very similar mechanism to freeze all of their pickle jars. Well, you know, these issues cut both ways. Like, anything, as soon as you centralize control over it, you can both use it for good, which is you can freeze during a hack, or you can use it for evil, which is you can pull all the money out. So it's insane to be blaming Solidity for this. Now, the issue is that more and more tokens are, and DeFi platforms are saying, hey, we're audited. Here's their audit report. I mean, you have to be very sophisticated. I've read a lot of these audit reports. You have to be very sophisticated and a very technical person to understand an audit report. They are very, very, very difficult. Like, most of them are not simple, hey, add a line of code here and you're all fixed. They are very sophisticated reports about technology. So if you as a user are not comfortable with that, you should really, you know, I'm not going to say everyone should go learn how to program, because that's not realistic, but you need to be very careful about where you're putting your money. So a random new DeFi thing that, even if it just says that it's audited, that's not really enough. Like, you want to have a lot more guarantees around it, a lot more assurances about what's happening. You want to trust other people who are commenting on it, who have looked at the audit reports, who understand it, and blaming the auditor themselves for an issue that they themselves disclosed that then the community didn't take seriously is absurd.
Yeah. So next, DEX aggregator One Inch has closed a $12 million funding round led by Pantera Capital.
Yeah, One Inch is really cool. It's an aggregator on top of the bunch of DEXs that are out there. They did this as a SAFT. If people are familiar with funding mechanisms, there was a notion of a thing called a SAFE, which was so originally in venture funding, there was a thing called a cap note, which is you would get loaned money from your investors, and you would make a guarantee to pay them back or convert that convertible. I said cap note, I meant convertible cap note, or convert that into company stock. Later came this thing called a SAFE, which was a simplified version of that. It was no longer a loan. It was more of an agreement. And then came a SAFT, which was a SAFE, but guaranteed tokens down the line. I don't see how One Inch ever produces tokens that are worth what these people are expecting to get value from this. I could be wrong. It's really, you know, this is sort of the interesting part about this. It is, you know, we talk a lot on the show about the changing dynamics of venture capital and funding for these types of companies. Doing this as an investment, to not take capital in the company, but to basically take tokens down the line is a enormous counterparty risk, essentially, because there is absolutely no guarantee they will ever produce a token. There's no guarantees that the token will be worth anything, even though there's some clawbacks in there around it and getting paid back. You know, it's very, very, like, I think that it's really strange. I think $12 million is an enormous amount of money for a 3-person team when this, and maybe they're bigger now, but that was sort of when they started. So it's a small team. They open source all their code. You know, you're not going to have moats and defensibility eventually. Like, all their stuff gets open source. So you're going to see the exact same thing that happened with DeFi protocols like Compound and all those guys that just got immediately forked. You look at Uniswap, got immediately forked into
Sushi.
Yeah. And then Vampire attacked. So, I mean, that same thing is going to happen to One Exchange. They're going to do is, I don't see how you, you know, if people are investing $12 million, they're expecting a 100x return. That's how venture capital works. So, I mean, like, I don't see how you make a $1 billion company out of code that anyone can write. So I don't know. It's super interesting. Good for those guys. I mean, good for the One Inch guys. It's a great product. People love it. We hear about it a lot at, here. So it's obviously they're doing something right, but I just am still in awe of how investments are happening in this space around this kind of stuff.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.